17. My name is Shake Zula, the mic ruler, the old schooler. If you want a trip, I'll bring it to ya.
Live, we're invincible. We are Sparkle Motion.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
We are.
Sparkle Motion.
I quoted that recently.
No one knows what that is.
I know, that's the thing. I quoted that.
Unless
to
you're
a
male, ages 18 to 28.
You don't know that.
I'm
no, I was supposed to say, as I quoted
know.
That
I
to somebody,
really
Donnie Darko.
I will tell you.
I was joking.
Yeah. So it's Donnie Darko, who's the character.
What's that?
Yeah,
what's Donnie Darko?
A really good character. It's a good
movie.
Just the director's cut, right?
But we
were cognitive when I watched it, I guess, is the...
But we are not Spark Emotion. We are the Multimedia Men. I'm Brian, sorry. My voice is... I'm still screaming from WrestleMania.
You finally hit puberty.
It's still there. Still raspy. Sorry. But I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. I'm with Gwen Reyes with WFAA and Real Fiction...
Fresh Fiction.
Fuck. Real Vixen from FreshFiction.tv.
Yeah, that is a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
That is what she said. Adam Conway, who is going to be like the go-to guy for Dallas International Film Festival. He will be up there 24/7 for like 2 weeks straight, right?
It'll be a long time, yes.
Yeah. So go up to the Angelica where it'll all be and say hi to him. And then we have Andrew Conway at the end of the table. Say hi.
Hey, everybody.
He is the local filmmaker in Dallas. He will be conducting all the cool interviews for Diff and filming them and doing all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So this podcast today is about the Dallas International Film Festival. It is the 10th annual one. It'll be taking place all at Angelica, right?
A few other places.
A few other places, like Clyde Warren Park and... Dallas Performance Arts.
So,
and Alamo Draft House. So.
So since you're the go-to guy for basically running the festival at the theater, what makes this 10th version so special?
Well, it's just their big year for them, and they're just trying to, you know, display why film is important for Dallas, and with a broad array of films, so it's a good lineup. So.
How many films do they have this year?
It's around 120, I believe.
120 from
yeah.
Where? What's the furthest away film that came to Dallas?
I'm not sure, but there is some in the world cinema category. That's definitely not from the area.
not from the U.S. at all. So what's everybody really looking forward to this year?
I have two. I'm excited that they're putting a TV show in. We're going to get to see Queen of the South.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The first episode of that. So it's really neat to see sort of
a switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What describe Queen of the South, and have you seen it?
I have not seen it, and I don't know what it's about.
It's for the USA Network.
Yeah.
I think it stars Alicia Braga is her name.
And they filmed it locally, and so that's another.
And she's playing, I think, some type of drug?
She's a drug dealer's
yeah.
girlfriend, or she's a drug dealer. She gets sent back... She's separated from her family, then finds something tragic happens back home, makes her come back.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
So is it just showing the pilot episode?
They're just showing the
pilot
episode.
Just the pilot, yeah.
And that's a big deal. Why did they think they decided to do a TV show this year?
Because there's a lot of local support behind it since it was shot here in Dallas. So they're just, like I said, they're trying to find different ways to honor the Dallas film scene. So
okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. What else? What else is going on this year that's different than
the
past years?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple good documentaries this year. Well, they do every year, but yeah, I guess the Norman Lear doc, which I'm excited for.
Which one is that?
It's...
I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember. It's Norman Lear...
There's actually some really good documentaries that I'm excited about, too. There's two in particular. There's one from Joe Berlinger, who did West of Memphis.
Oh,
and
yes.
He did Metallica. He's got one by Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm super excited about.
Tony Robbins is the guy that...
Guru.
He was in Shallow Hal.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. He's a self-help guru. And so Joe followed him for a year and sort of saw his whole thing. And it's all leading up to one. So I'm really excited about that one. And then there's also... Werner Herzog has a film called Lo and Behold, and it's sort of talking about technology and how technology is sort of surpassing humanity in a sense, that's sort of famous Einstein quote. But it's interesting because it chronicles a bunch of stuff, a bunch of times that technology is just moving so much faster than we thought. And so it's I'm excited about that because there's so many crazy things happening in the world in technology. Robots, like we just got the ScarJo, a robot in China. I don't know about that, but some guy, you know, spent 2 years building his own ScarJo.
And it looks pretty
robot.
Close to her.
And yeah.
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 It was pretty impressive.
Although the mouth doesn't really move like it should, but it's hilarious.
Robots aren't people, guys.
But he nailed the raspy voice, you know.
Did she sign off on this?
No.
Of course not.
No.
Okay. Just some guy built a robot.
Creepy,
and Werner Herzog
guy
doing
in Japan,
it, which is
yeah.
awesome. Oh, I love
yeah,
it.
Well, yeah, it's great. You know, there's so much stuff that's exciting. Like the virtual reality landscape it's becoming a big deal, and that's going to be a huge thing. Like at NAB this year, it's that's where we're moving. It's like, yeah. So I'm excited to see what Werner Herzog's perspective on the whole digital landscape and where we're moving.
Is Herzog coming in for this
no.
or anybody?
Herzog doesn't actually travel that much either.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure he's probably doing like 20 other films right now. Too.
Yeah.
So
okay.
He's
actually working on a scripted movie. Mm-hmm. I know. So he hasn't done one of those since.
Herzog?
Rescue Dawn, yeah.
He's okay. Busy, yeah.
Oh, he doesn't need a shoe in this one.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about those. Those are my hopefully main focus on the festival.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Do you know who you, anybody get to interview? Anybody coming in for sure?
I don't really know the list yet, but
They're still finalizing it, so.
Still finalizing stuff, but, I know, like.
Barry Bostwick's one of them, right? Rocky Horror alum?
I think so, yeah.
I think he'll be there, which will be cool.
Wonder Barry Bostwick
and then, they're honoring Ed Lachman, is that how you pronounce him?
Lachman.
He's
DP,
a
yeah.
DP, so he's getting the, Monty Hellman Award. No, I'm sorry. He's getting just the Star Award.
Okay.
Like, and he did Carol just recently, mm-hmm. and Aaron Brockovich, and a couple of other things coming out.
Yeah, so he's been around for a while, and he's a pretty solid director. And I don't know if you guys got to see Carol last year, but man, Carol was beautifully shot. It's one of my favorite. I'm glad he was nominated for cinematography, because he didn't win, but he
shot the upcoming Todd Solondz movie Wiener Dog, which is a continuation of his Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a trilogy now. Yeah,
it's a trilogy now.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing saga.
Interesting. Is there a zombie movie that takes place in Dallas that's coming?
Yes, Daylight's End.
Daylight's End.
Okay, what is this movie about? And was it filmed here?
It was filmed here, and a buddy of mine is actually one of the stars of it. Brent Anderson. He's a local actor, and he got to work with Lance Henriksen on the movie. It's really enjoyable. I don't want to spoil it, but so it's going to be huge. I think Fair White was in it also. And so it's going to be a huge Texas event. And I'm sure a lot of the cast and crew are going to be there for sure. But it's cool because actually get to see some of the locations they shot. I know they shot like the old Fort House, like where Lee Harvey Oswald was.
And it is a zombie movie.
It's
definitely a zombie movie. It's pretty much a group of people. Brent plays the pilot, the only person that can pretty much get everybody out of this location. So they're all, I think the movie itself, they're all trying to get to the landing strip to where they can take off and leave and get away from the zombies, as well as trying to keep Brent alive. Because he's only going
to
fly a plane.
That sounds fun.
And so, yeah, Lance Henriksen.
I'm trying to think of a zombie movie that's been taking place in Dallas before. I mean, besides zombie.
There was Blood on the Highway. Blood on the Highway was a zombie.
Like some post-apocalyptic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Robocop.
So is this a midnight feature or just like...
It is a midnight feature.
It is a midnight
yeah,
feature.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely its midnight block, so...
All right. I always love the midnight.
Can't put those zombie films in the centerpiece.
There's also like another local filmmaker who I guess he had a short a couple years back that he now fleshed out into a feature. It's Clay Lyford, and his short is called Slash, which was like a Harry Potter fan fiction short that they now expanded into a full length feature.
Fan fiction,
fiction. It's Slash fiction.
So yeah, he's now in Austin, but yeah, he shot it and they're doing a premiere of it here at Diff. So
yeah, it's really exciting.
Should be exciting.
The short was really, really good.
Sure it was.
Is it online that people can view?
I think it's on Vimeo. Yeah.
Okay.
You can find it. It's Lyford, L-I-F-O-R-D.
And so this is one of the cool stories where somebody made a short. They liked it so much they gave him money to do a full feature.
Right.
Length.
He raised
That's
money
really
to
cool.
do a full
yeah.
feature. Yeah, based on the short's success. So, yeah.
And he's an excellent... he's worked with David Lowery and James Johnson. So he's been a cinematographer.
Yeah.
And
an editor and director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's done all sorts of stuff.
He had a really great film. Oh my gosh. It had Nate Rubin in it.
Earthling?
No. I didn't like Earthling.
Yeah.
Earthling was not a very...
I think Nate Rubin was in the short actually also.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's in the feature version of Slash.
No.
Which one? I know.
It's the teacher's one. Where...
Yeah, what was it called, though?
It's not a teacher, is it?
No, it wasn't a teacher. It was, like, a couple of years before that.
Because they had, like, the A-plus and the chicken.
Mm-hmm. Wuss.
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 There you go, yeah.
That was...
I'm trying to remember. That sounds familiar.
Such interesting.
That's how it works here. Play off.
And he also had a short, you know, got my mom smokes pot or whatever.
Oh, I love My Mom Smokes Weed, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I haven't seen these. Where are these?
Yeah.
Where I think they're all on Vimeo. I think you can go.
We need to attend these festivals more, Brian.
I feel like
you need to go to the Shorts Block. I mean,
yeah.
I love the Shorts Block. That's Calvin Reeder was found through that. He did Oregonian and The Rambler.
Yeah.
The Rambler. His girlfriend is Lindsay Polster.
Two movies Brian's never heard of. But.
Yeah.
You've never seen The Oregonian?
What is The Oregonian?
Oh, you would
that
love
is
that.
Right.
No, wait. Wait, is that like the crazy weird one?
Yes.
Okay.
With
I,
milk. Lots of milk.
Right.
And
then now I know. Now
when
I know.
The Rambler had Dermot.
The feature had Dermot.
Dermot Mulroney or Dermot?
Yeah, Dermot.
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 No.
It was Dermot.
Dermot
Mulroney.
It was, yeah.
Okay. There,
it's
I
the
know.
One that's more offended when you call him the other one.
Yeah.
Dermot Mulroney. Sad white. The one married to Catherine Keener.
And Calvin, he was directing some TV.
He was doing TV stuff. He did True Blood, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's where he met his...
His lady friend.
His lady.
Do we know if any of the
films...
Yeah,
you need to watch Argonian. I can't believe you've never seen that.
I know about it. I haven't seen it yet. Is it on Blu-ray? Is there a release for it?
No, they burned all the copies.
They burned all the copies.
I had to do an interview with him, like a Q&A right after that screening at like midnight.
Yeah.
And I just remember watching that and just being like, oh my God. Because I loved the Rambler short. And then having to get up there, do the Q&A, and I was just like... Just tell us why you made this. I have nothing. I don't even want to talk about this movie. I actually said, tell me why.
So, Rambler, what does that mean?
what happened?
And he was just like, whatever you want it to be.
Do you remember that time in the movie where the end came?
Isn't that the answer he gave you?
Yeah.
Whatever you want
whatever
it to be?
Whatever you want it to be.
All right.
Wow, so deep.
Are there any movies this year at DIFF that have already been picked up for a wide release?
Yes. Cool. A movie that I thought you were excited about.
I was going to say High Rise.
Yeah.
So what is High Rise? Oh.
Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah. Is that the...
It takes place in a tall building.
Okay.
It's Ben Wheatley. So if you've seen any of his awesome early stuff.
Which one is Ben Wheatley?
He's an upcoming British director. He also did...
I love him. It's a good movie.
Why can't I... I know all his stuff.
But so, it's got Tom Hiddleston in it, so Gwen's already.
Yeah, I don't even know
she's
the plot.
So Tom,
I have yet to know. I have never watched a trailer for this. I've yet to know what the plot is for it, but I know 100% that I want to see it because
yeah.
It has Tom Hiddleston.
Look up the.
Well, Ben Wheatley did The Kill List. If you saw that in Sightseers.
Okay.
They're both like you know.
It's got a pretty
classic horror movies.
So High Rise.
It's got Sienna Miller. Luke
is it an action movie?
Elizabeth Moss, Jeremy Irons, and Tom.
Yeah. Here, I'll read it to you.
And he did one of the shorts for ABC's of Death and also A Field in England.
That's right.
Which was an awesome black and white movie. Yeah, it was like a period piece.
All right. I remember.
He's that old.
He's...
He made black and white movies?
No,
he made the first talkie.
It was black and white in 2013.
Oh, yeah. It
so
a
it's,
creative decision.
He's young. He's like he's really like the next big thing that's out of UK. So
what is High Rise about? Do we know?
Would you like me to tell you what it's
yes,
about?
Yes, tell me what High Rise is about.
Yes, tell
me. Because I don't know if it's an action movie or it's like...
It's kind of, I think it's an action thriller that sort of takes place in...
Is it like
all
the
takes
raid?
Place,
all building.
It takes place in a high rise.
Is it like The Raid?
And it's about the life of the residents of a tower block that begins to run out of control.
Because it's a futuristic sort of, you know, this building...
It's like if you take Tower Heist and The Raid and you made a movie.
Mix it a little bit of
I swear to God, that's really what it is. It's like their power goes out and they start... Picking them off one by one because
think
they're
of
all
like the new Judge Dredd movie where they went to that one building that was basically like a whole community
yeah.
in itself. That's basically what this is like. That kind of goes out of control.
So is this like one of the first action movies we'll see Tom Hiddleston minus Avengers?
I don't think it's super action.
There's probably some action where it's more.
Okay.
Yeah, because like, he does horror stuff. Like,
is he British in this?
I'm sure he probably is.
Who?
So he's coming off his Hank Williams movie that I hear was not that good.
Oh.
I did not care for it.
Oh, even Tom Hiddleston, too.
I like Tom Hiddleston's performance, but I thought structurally the movie was all over the place. You were told things, never showed anything. Like, any time that he would go on a bender, you never saw it. You would just hear the reaction, and the next thing you'd see him, he's very happy and jovial. So you'd never see him.
So you never saw the dark side of things.
You never saw the dark side that everybody was talking about around.
I wonder if that was more, you know.
It seemed like the editing was really messed up. And there's a lot of, like, tricky camera stuff that happened, like, that were mistakes.
Because maybe you can allude to it, but they couldn't really straight up let me talk about it. Because I'm sure maybe it's a state and be like,
Yeah.
And it says that High Rise is actually a film adaptation of a J.G. Ballard novel.
Oh.
And the most, I guess, the most...
Who's J.G. Ballard?
Well, he wrote the David Cronenberg movie, or I guess that was based on Crash, that was messed up about the people who like to...
Oh, have sex when they get in car crashes?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that movie.
So if you like to tell me that movie, I love that one.
I may not know The Oregonian, but I know Crash.
I love Crash.
Not the Paul Haggis one. Yeah, James Spader, absolutely.
I like both.
That was NC-17 or X or something like that. I remember the big deal going to theaters. Way back then.
So if you like the tone of that movie, then you'll probably like the tone of High Rise.
All right.
So.
Preston, for Fresh Fiction, said he hated it, but I don't really care.
It's probably like a psychosexual suspense thriller, you know.
Yeah. Some of these movies are sounding good. I will say that.
Yeah.
Well, there's another one with Michael Shannon and Rachel Weisz called Complete Unknown. I'll watch anything that he's in because he's like the best.
Michael Shannon?
Actor.
He was just in... Midnight Special, which I loved.
He's also in Jeff Nichols' upcoming next movie also. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's called Upcoming?
No.
So, also a big thing, even though she's not coming to the festival, Natalie Portman's directorial debut is also premiering.
What is it called?
It is called A Tale of Love and Darkness, and it's actually based off of another book by Amos Oz, which I think is actually... I think it's based off of his life story. I think it's a...
I'm curious to see what Natalie Portman can do behind
the
camera.
It's sort of based on part two, right? Mm-hmm. It sort of takes place in Israel, or...
Mm-hmm.
Does she star in it?
She's not in it, I don't think. I think she's just directing.
She just stayed behind the camera.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
I am too. I think it looks really... It would be more interesting, I think, if she came, because I think that that's a really fun
thing
for
hear
fans
she, yeah.
that want to hear her talk about.
It's just a process of a first-time director. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear...
I was like to hear that or when actors move. Yeah.
Well, considering somebody who's been, she was a child actor.
Yeah.
And now she's.
She
was? She's one of the. She was.
What was she in?
Your favorite movie.
The Professional.
Yeah.
I love Beautiful Girls.
Those are two amazing movies.
Such a creepy relationship between.
Beautiful Girls is that?
Timothy Hutton and her.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman and.
I can't be you, Christopher Robin.
So weird.
Yeah.
It got weird in here.
It did get weird. I was like, whoa. Adam.
Professional is what you should know her from.
So. Well, yeah, everybody knows Leo the Professional. But she's one of like the few child actors who's really still kind of made it.
Yeah.
Because she's so good. Has she won an Oscar? Did
she
win one for Black Swan? She did win.
You remember that ridiculous speech she made when she won?
I can't remember.
But and it was so weird because she was like just... I guess it was
she
pregnant
was overwhelmed
with,
in the moment.
With the...
Something happened over there.
Oh, you got a phone call.
No, I did.
Does that mean Periscope went down?
Yeah, it stopped.
It did? Oh, no.
I wonder how long ago it went down.
It just happened. Sorry, guys. Bear with us.
Sorry, we're bearing with us. We're getting back on.
I like that you're talking to somebody that you could easily just edit out.
Edit out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's a multi-platform
technology
situation.
Okay, this will give me a little bit of time.
So do you want to stop the...
The information is in the cloud?
Keep going. Okay, I'll just keep talking. This is the 10th Annual Dallas International Film Festival. It takes place April 14th through 24th, 2016.
That's coming up next week.
Yes. Coming up soon. And it's any information you need to go to dallasfilm.org.
So I remember last year I started the whole festival off with that 5.5-hour Virgin Airlines movie.
Oh, yeah.
And
did
then
you,
I...
Did you finish it?
Did you ever
fly somewhere?
I have not used it yet. I have quite a few points on Virgin because they gave you like enough points for a free one-way trip on Virgin.
One-way? I thought it was one-way.
So yeah, I finished it. I played a drinking game with it. I brought my own beer and snacks. I think Mark Walters from Big Fanboy joined me as well.
I thought so, yeah.
That was fun. And then after that, I saw three more movies that day. But what do you think? I mean, I'm trying to think if I'm going to do that this year, because usually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm there all day, every, you know, day and night till 2 a.m. I don't think I'm going to do that this year. Too taxing. I'm getting too old. Almost as old as Gwen.
Yeah, I don't go at all.
I need to get a cookie. These cookies look amazing.
I know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if it's... That's an interesting thing to talk about, too, because you're celebrating 10 years of a film festival. At what point do you hit peak exhaustion of a festival? Like, just kind of... Not personal exhaustion, but when does that... When does the festival stop being interesting? How do you keep the longevity going?
Well, I think you have to keep on showing movies that are new throughout the festival instead of just repeating the ones you showed the first few days. Because I tend to not go after the fifth day.
We have all the different shorts blocks, you know, that fills up a lot of the time. And like, there's always some good stuff there. And, you know, then they'll show like the award winners for the second weekend. You know, once they get... voted on at their award ceremony that Friday night. So, you know, they try to, you know, and if there's a popular movie, they'll try to show it more than once, but, you know, it just depends, you know, because they want to give people the opportunity to see it, especially if it's in a smaller house, and if it sells out, they want to make sure.
Are they doing any events this year? Like, besides, like...
Well, they have, like, their screenings all over the place.
Yeah.
Like they're doing family-friendly ones.
Like, they're showing Labyrinth and E.T. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Hold on a second.
Yeah, there's John Williams. John Williams being awarded something during the festival.
Is he going
to
be here?
They're doing a tribute to him. Unfortunately, his schedule does not allow
him to
make it here. He's too busy.
How old is John Williams? He's, like, a million years old, right?
Like, 80-something?
Good Lord.
And so he's unfortunately not able to do that, but the actor that plays Elliot in E.T. is coming sort of... Henry Thomas.
I remembered his name a week
to
later.
Sort of help celebrate John Williams' career in movies and film.
So this year, Diff is going to honor John Williams, the composer who did E.T. amongst Star Wars, Harry Potter, Jaws, Superman... And they're gonna show the movie with a live orchestra, or
I think that might be at the Dallas Music.
I don't think they're doing it.
No.
Here are their special presentations.
And then we have Henry Thomas, the guy, little boy who played Elliot, who's now an old man.
An older guy.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then you know, Labyrinth they're doing out at Clyde Warren, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be cool.
That should be fun.
Labyrinth, like the David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Special?
Is there any other Labyrinth?
There's a TV show called Labyrinth.
All right, so honoring David Bowie.
Have you ever seen Labyrinth?
I've definitely seen Labyrinth many times. Do you know who was originally going to play Jareth?
You remind me of the Babe.
The Babe of the Power. Do you remember?
Who do?
You remember?
The Jim Henson wanted to cast Michael Jackson.
Gross.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
I'm so happy that.
But I'm glad I didn't because David Bowie nailed that role.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Might have been a different movie.
I don't think I would like that movie with Michael Jackson.
No.
It would have been so weird. It
would have been different.
He was so good at Captain EO, so if he could kind of play like a campier Captain EO.
They should bring that back.
Well, that was also, had Spielberg and Lucas.
It's gone,
and Coppola.
They moved for Harry Potter.
They have it at World. I was like, no, I've been recently.
Ooh.
It was Disney World.
Awesome. I would still watch that.
I love it. It's so good.
He was pretty good in that weird Moonwalker movie.
I liked Moonwalker.
Yeah,
it was a collection of videos.
Yeah.
We need to honor Michael Jackson at Diff.
I know. It should just be our own festival.
Now I want to ask an interesting question. This is the 10th year of Diff. Do you think this is the last year that it's called the Dallas International Film Festival?
Or why would that change?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to... Because wasn't it AFI at some point?
It was AFI Dallas for the first 3 years.
Okay. So, we expect to see 11 and 12 and 13, as far as we know.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
All right.
It all depends on whether or not, like, they sort of made it this because they wanted to bring in an international film base. And if that's still their sort of goal, I'm sure they'll keep it this way. But who knows? If they see that a different direction will help make it successful in the future, I'm sure they might change it. You never know.
So for people who want to attend the festival who do not want to spend the hundreds of dollars on a pass, can they come up to the box office at Angelica and buy just movie passes for it?
Not like the Diff box office.
The Diff box office. Where is that?
It's in Mockingbird Station.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they just want to see any one of the movies, they can just, like, I want a ticket to this one.
How much is it? It varies depending if it's a centerpiece or not, but it should be around $10.
Okay.
Yeah, and the centerpiece, I think, like $25.
Do most of these sell out?
A lot of them do. They'll go to the rush line, so you can basically be like in the standby line if they do fill up.
Yeah.
That's why getting a pass is preferable, since you don't have to wait in the rush line.
So since this is your, like, deal, your busiest time of the year, how much are you going to be at Angelica?
I'm guessing, like, 120 hours for that week, so.
Wow.
For ice, 10 days.
Are you
going to
get, like, a shower in the Angelica?
Not really. There's a fountain out in front of the theater.
Employee washroom.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think will win an award this year, like the audience award this year?
Well, it's really hard to tell because you never know until you start seeing audience reactions to stuff. Because it surprises you also, if it's a Dallas-based movie, you have a lot more people voting.
Voting on it?
Yep.
Yeah.
What about this movie, the Occupied Texas movie? Do we know about any of that? Occupied Texas?
Another documentary?
I think so. I'm trying to remember. I've just heard about it. I've heard of this Occupied Texas movie.
Well, it sounds like...
And I'm not sure
the
exactly.
99%.
Is it the 99% of Texas? Or... Because I am not sure. I've just heard of it. I've seen the poster. It sounds kind of cool. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to be...
Okay, so Occupy Texas follows a washed-up occupier who returns home after the death of his parents to find himself responsible for his two teenage sisters and his Texas-sized past. The cast also includes all these people.
So it
sounds like...
So it's not documentary at all.
Guys, it sounds like a romance novel. It's the exact same plot of a romance novel. And
okay.
Then finds love and learns to take care of his baby kids. Baby
surprised
kids.
There's no weed docs for the whole Texas weed debate that's going on.
I wonder if there was, and it accepted.
Oh, this one. I forgot about this one, too. Also competing in the same category with Slash and Occupy Texas. So I think that's the Texas competition.
Yeah.
But Occupy Texas does have, has Lorelai Linklater, Richard Linklater's daughters in it, as well as Janine Turner. So there's definitely a Texas cast. So there'll be some recognizable faces.
And then you have Tower by Keith Bathlin. That's about the shooting at University of Texas.
Okay. That's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Is that the guy in the tower from
Was
it 60s?
And it's supposed to have a combination of animation and...
Yeah, I heard the animation's really awesome on it, so...
And Keith Matlin, just like Clay Lifford, or
seems
long
like
a, Diff supporters, so...
Seems like an uplifting movie.
Right.
It's the tower.
Super happy!
It sounds like a pretty fun year, then.
Yeah.
I'm more excited than I was about it.
I wonder, are they still doing a lounge...
Yeah.
Is that still... That's the one thing I do think is fun about Diff is the camaraderie abilities that you have. You can go to the lounge, you can meet people online, you can kind of just hang out and talk about movies the whole time. And it's 10 days of just loving on movies.
I'm excited for it. Get to meet some people. Get to maybe schmooze with some celebrities, actors, filmmakers. I like doing that. That's what I like to do. I like to go to the lounge or whatever and just start talking to people.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
so
you should have a film crew following you around once you do that. So.
Yes.
Hey. Have you on a reality show?
Yeah. what's going on here in Texas? Does anybody have anything else to say about Diff before we move on?
It's good. You should go to Diff. There's you won't be able to see anything else at the Angelica, so you might as well.
Oh yeah, it's all movies not showing for.
Well, I have a couple, but yeah, they're taking up most of the theaters. So.
All right. So. And are tickets still available?
Yeah.
Passes and everything, star passes or anything? Okay.
Go to DallasFilmSociety.org and it'll take you to the Diff page for getting tickets.
All right. And you can find pretty much all of us up at Angelica.
Yep.
So let's start. Let's move on to some of the movies that opened up today. One of the big ones is Richard Linklater's new movie, which is like a blood relative of Days Confused. Mm-hmm. Everybody Wants Some, which is in my top 10 movies of the year so far. It's
Have there been 10 movies this year so far?
There were 10 movies last week.
Yeah. So no, it's good. I love Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah.
Has everybody seen it yet?
Yes.
Yeah. I have not seen it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've heard nothing but
You don't like movies anymore, do you?
No, I guess not. I guess I don't like movies anymore. Like, what's a movie?
What's a movie?
I watched a TV show recently.
Oh, good.
But wait, yeah. But also opening up this weekend is The Boss with Melissa McCarthy.
So I missed that. It's rated R, which gives me hope.
It's actually a character she made like in, when she was at the Groundlings, you know, back
okay.
in the
I love that character. So it is 16, like
17 years ago.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's similar to Troop Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it's like an extreme, angrier version of Troop Beverly Hills. And I love it.
And it's getting good reviews.
Love it so much.
You have good reviews?
Yeah.
McCarthy is freaking amazing.
It seems like one of her terrible ones, like Tammy.
You put Tammy and Identity Thief, everyone gives those both shit. They're both actually very good.
They're not very good.
They're
fine. They're really bad.
Tammy's got a sweet heart to it. Tammy White loved it.
Her husband directed it and wrote it with her.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't like it. But
I'd love to be her husband right now.
Is the former WWE champion Batista in The Boss? I
is
hear
he,
that
he
was.
The boss?
I heard that he was.
Oh.
He might be. He's blown up. So
I only recognize him if he's blue or if he's like blue. Is that what's called?
Green.
Green.
He just signed up for
a
role in Blade Runner 2.
Yeah, he did,
so.
Which is awesome. So let's talk. Let's go back to Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah.
Why? How did this movie work? Why did this movie work 20 years after the original? Or kind of
it's just that, you know, Linklater writes what he knows, and he was actually, you know, on a college baseball team, and this takes place in the first three days of college for a Texas collegiate baseball team. So it's then moving into their house that they have to live in together.
In 1980.
Yeah.
All right.
And then basically trying to figure out the college campus for the next couple days before their practice starts.
Besides Gwen, was anybody alive in 1980?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was like,
the 80s? Yeah.
I was like, sure.
I loved it. The music is amazing.
I think that's a cool part about the film itself, too, is the fact that it sort of showcases the period of time where all these new sort of musical... what am I trying to say here?
Technologies.
But
because you have punk
music,
rock.
You have punk, you have country, and you have disco.
Yeah.
It's all sort of
kind
of
that's dying out,
it's
but
sort
still
of heyday,
there.
And all these different musical movements sort of come into fruition and sort of taking on like a mind of their own. And it's really cool that he was able to sort of showcase that, because that's a very interesting time musically in our history.
Absolutely it was.
How stuff gets so diverse, yeah.
I can't wait for the soundtrack to come out. It was so good. And I love the characters. They're so funny, and you want to hang out with them forever. And they also have a little bit of heart to them, too.
Yeah.
Like, they all can see the longer...
I think he's really good at making relatable characters. So, like, a lot of people in the movie, you're like, you know people like that. So it's easier for you to, like, sort of see those characters and know where they're going. I thought he did a good ensemble stuff, which really played this great with. And it worked perfectly. It's great.
And I love how it like pretty much opened and closed with the similar Days of Confused shots. Like it opened up with somebody riding in a car, playing music, and then at the end somebody falling asleep.
Well,
with the music playing.
There's even a point in the movie where they walk into I believe it's the disco, and they're all silhouetted, and a lot of their silhouettes actually look like characters from Days and Confused.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, one of the guys looks almost exactly like Jeremy London. Yeah. It's really cool sort of movement to be like, oh, wow. So like, if you were just looking, it was a great shot. Like, it definitely made me like, that's awesome.
That's cool. I want to see it again.
Yeah, and it almost also like the disco place might have actually been the same location that they used in Days Confused. They just repainted the outside, almost. So, I don't know.
Is this a wide release, or is it independent release?
I think they're doing a...
Limited
platform.
They're probably going to roll out depending on how well it does. I'm sure it will roll out to a wide release.
Do you think like a movie like this could get like a nomination for an Oscar for like
screenplay?
Definitely screenplay.
It was her Boyhood, so...
Like Linklater hasn't really made a bad movie.
There's some great performances in it too. I don't know if this is exactly the Oscars cup of tea, but I feel like there are several performances that could be up for a nomination.
All right,
it was like the lead Blake Jenner, who was on some TV shows.
I even like Kurt Russell's
son. She's on Glee.
Yeah, Glee.
Kurt Russell's son was great as the weird pitcher.
He's like,
which one was that?
He's the weird pitcher with a beard and blonde hair.
He's the weird pitcher that ran home?
No. He's one who gets kicked off the team because I don't want to reveal too much, but, you know.
Oh, he's Willoughby.
One with the beard? Yes.
Willoughby.
Willoughby. What are you thinking of right now? And see if we can read your mind.
Yes. So that's Kurt Russell's son?
Yeah.
He was in 22 Jump Street with Channing Tatum.
I was thinking of a shark.
I didn't know that was Kurt Russell's
weird
son.
He looks just like him if you look closely.
I was thinking about wanting to grow a tail.
And so, okay, we have The Boss. And I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I want to see it.
I don't know.
I'm going to wait. That's maybe on TV.
And also, exciting news today, we found out that Melissa McCarthy has been evading us and will be in the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Suki St. James.
Yeah. Which I think...
You know it was inevitable.
I don't know if she's hiding it, but I just never believe any of these people that say what they say. So
Well, they've gotten everybody else back. And it's so funny because I met Melissa McCarthy when... No, not in real life, but I think we all met Melissa McCarthy on Gilmore Girls. And then she transitioned to this really funny, foul-mouthed comedian.
That's why I think, in a way, I feel so connected and possessive of her, in a way. It's because Gilmore Girls is such an institution in my life. It's such a part of
Wasn't she on Samantha Who also?
And she was. And so I transitioned from Gilmore Girls to Samantha Who, which is another show that I loved. And then I thought that was her last chance. As a chubby woman in Hollywood, I was like, she's never going to have a chance. And then she started popping up in all these movies, and I was just so...
Yeah.
So
I identified with her, and I
plays the same character, though, but the good thing is
fine.
I heard, like...
So does, like...
Pretty much Bridesmaids is what made her...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like Robert De Niro. He plays the same character, and we all love him. So let Melissa McCarthy play the same character.
Let's speak for yourself.
All right, yeah. I'm excited about that. What else came out this week? There's probably another one or two movies that came out.
We can talk about trailers and the amazing Star Wars trailer.
Rogue One.
That came out this week.
A Star Wars story.
So good. I love Felicity Jones.
I love Felicity Jones. So. I completely forgot that she was in it, and then she popped up, and I was like,
So not to confuse anybody about the Rogue One trailer, this is not Star Wars Episode 8. This is one of the single character stories in between. It takes place before A New Hope.
They already changed. It's Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Right.
So instead of making an anthology, whatever.
And it takes place before A New Hope, like the first Star Wars movie.
Right. But like almost literally like right before A New Hope.
Yeah, right before.
So much Star Wars, guys.
It's something to note, also, Force Awakens came out on Blu-ray this week. And
yes, it did.
Really cool thing about that is they have a behind-the-scenes documentary, like a 2.5-hour documentary.
Yeah,
and they showed it at South By.
I've seen it.
They showed it at South By. That's supposed to be amazing.
I saw it. It's really good. The extras on there are really cool. There's deleted scenes.
There's a whole bunch of dance numbers, I heard.
They did a good job.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, he did the music for the canteen scene.
That's cool.
I don't remember.
Hamilton, great.
I know. Anybody? Hamilton? What?
Bird.
Yo, it's real.
Guys, I'm going to a nerdy Broadway convention, like a Comic-Con for Broadway.
That's
when
cool.
Is that? Where?
In January, called Broadway.
In January?
Do you guys want to
like
go
next
on
January?
A...
Yeah, next
it's
January.
It's a long time away.
Yeah, mine's on Monday.
Do you see that Wizard World announced a cruise with Norman Reedus? You guys want to go on a cruise?
Thanks. Nope, I don't do cruises.
From Miami to the Bahamas?
No.
With Norman Reedus? Is it like a...
It's a Wizard World Con.
Is that a spoiler?
Is Wizard World like a Harry Potter convention?
No,
Wizard
it's
World.
A comic,
it's
a comic.
It's like
they have those guys. They have
so
it's like the Cordis and
San Diego Comic Con. There's a company called Wizard, and they put on comics. They've kind of died down recently, but yeah, Wizard World. They used to be one in Dallas, but. I'm trying to think of what a cruise would be like with all comic book people on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one will be out swimming.
Yeah, everyone will be
able to. Either you have
that's a funny movie. Waiting
there's like
happens.
The two different types of cruises that you can take.
There's a casino
cruise,
on board.
But
though.
You can take the ones that is like the entire ship is all fans. Or you take the one that's like a group goes on a ship with a whole bunch of other people. And how weird must that be?
It's an entire ship.
To be like the person outside of it staring in and going, wow.
This will be an entire ship, so.
You hope.
Man, that's crazy. Poor Norman Reedus.
Yeah, you have to really love your fans to want to do that.
Well, they're going to have a lot more guests, but he's the draw, I guess, right now.
Okay.
For a 4-day cruise with him.
All right. No. What else came out?
There's also zombies.
This week, we also had Hardcore Henry coming out.
Oh, that's right.
I'm excited about that.
I missed
which
it.
Which is, it was unique because it's basically a movie that's all shot in first person. So you never see the lead
with Jarko Copley
face at all.
Does he ever look in a mirror? Maybe he's seen
him. He might. I think at the very beginning he might.
It looks like a lot of handshaking. Like, I don't like the steady cam in it.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Then we also have another dramatic fare from Jake Gyllenhaal in Demolition.
Demolition. I heard that it's actually somewhat funny and also dramatic.
You know, well, because yeah, he basically the story is that he loses his fiance and then meets Naomi Watts and I guess her daughter who's going through some hard times too. And to relieve like the stress and stuff, he basically is destroying his house.
Mm-hmm.
He's demolishing it. So,
it sounds like My Life is a House.
That was sad though.
Yeah.
And funny at the same time.
Yeah.
Because instead it was Anakin Skywalker.
I was just saying, instead of having Jake Gyllenhaal, you have Anakin Skywalker or Kevin Kline.
Yes.
I like that movie.
I do too. That was a good movie.
It stars not Anakin Skywalker, but
Hayden Christensen.
Terrible Hayden Christensen.
It was his best role.
He's an actor?
He was good in that.
He was good in that. Yeah, he emoted in it, so it was
really
nice.
Really?
What was that one where he was the news writer who's lying?
Oh.
Antitrust?
Jumper?
No.
No. You played Phil Glass.
Glass House or Life?
Glass House was the one with Erica Christensen.
Life of Glass. Yeah. I don't know. That one was the only night
that he did
an okay job in.
And that's our Christian Hayden talk.
Hayden Christensen. Christian Hayden.
Christian Hayden.
Christian
Hayden.
That's what he's going to come back as. He's going to relaunch his career. And
Christian Hayden.
That's what authors do all the time. Have a whole new name.
You think
Christian Hayden? We're not.
I kind of like that name, Christian Hayden.
Do you think he gets royalties for Return of the Jedi for his one?
I hope so.
Like ghost scene?
He better.
All right.
That's how it works, but.
I don't think that's how royalties work, guys.
And then this month, we also have, moving on to television, we have Game of Thrones starting up.
Uh-huh.
We have
Outlander
Veep.
Starting up.
Outlander, Veep.
Veep.
And
Archer just started.
Archer, yeah. Silicon Valley. There's so much TV. I thought that there was so much TV that already
happened. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt part season 2?
Yep.
It's really good, guys.
I cannot wait.
Titus is like one of my favorite characters.
Unbreakable.
And so, to end this.
There's also Confirmation, the made-for-TV movie by HBO. I like how I still use that phrase. By HBO about Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Starring Kerry Washington. I'm really excited about that.
Is that the Washington? Or
yeah,
Kerry
it's
Washington?
That one. So we've got, each of them has a different name. Yep.
It's George Jefferson.
Alexander Hamilton.
That would be great.
Oh, those are presidents. Okay.
Yeah, except for Burr. He's not a president.
Bill Burr?
And neither
he killed a president.
Comedian Bill Burr is what you're talking about?
Hamilton and Burr were not presidents.
To end the podcast, did anybody participate or watch any of WrestleMania 32 in Dallas? Yes.
I participated. I was in one of the black matches.
What's the black match?
Were you the
yeah. The dark sorry,
that was
your
dark matches. It just got racial up in here.
Were you in the ladder match?
He was the wizard.
I was Bo Levi's side ring guy.
How do they decide which ones are going to wear pants and which ones are going to wear underwear?
I think it's personal preference.
Yeah. Personal preference, really.
But I imagine...
Yeah,
or camo shorts, like John Cena.
Or a camo short. But I feel like the McMahons would have a lot to say about that. Like,
no,
you're in the underwear.
No, they usually let the stars pick out their costume.
Yeah.
What does it say about the guy that chooses to wear just the underwear, though?
Yeah, just no banana hammock.
I mean, The Rock wears only underwear. Yeah. Triple H wears only underwear. Stone Cold Steve Austin used to only wear underwear.
He wore underwear and he also had a vest. He had a classy vest.
No, when he used to wrestle, he used to have the knee guards and just the thing.
What about when he was Mr. All-American? What was his...
Stunning Steve Austin? He used to wear just underwear then.
When he had new hair?
Can you imagine Mick Foley just wearing underwear?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He wouldn't. But no, WrestleMania 30.
He switched to jorts eventually, though.
What did
you mean Cactus
wear?
Jack?
No, or Mankind?
He wore a full body suit.
What?
Constantly.
Oh my God.
Or let's talk about WrestleMania 32. It was the largest crowd in ever.
But you heard about that controversy, right? Where they only let over 40,000 people in because of ticketing mistakes?
Yes. Well, I mean, it was sold out. They let them in eventually because it was all sold out. Like,
yeah.
Not an empty seat. But it took a... They didn't start... AT&T, they fucked up.
Yeah.
Because the first dark match started at like 5:45. They didn't start letting people into 5. So it was like 30% Fool win that first match. Right. And that was for the U.S. title, which was weird. But, yeah, it was a cool venue. I think a lot of people did not enjoy it because kind of...
I thought it was funny for a stadium that's called AT&T Stadium that their Wi-Fi went down. So.
Oh, yeah, because I was trying to post on Snapchat and Instagram, and I had to wait till I got outside of Arlington, basically, to do that.
Oh, my God, WrestleMania broke the internet.
It did. It always does.
Yeah.
And this year, so usually WrestleManias are 4 hours long. This one was over 6.5 hours long with the dark matches. It was way too long.
It also went over 30 minutes, too, didn't it? Something. Like, it was supposed to end at 11. Or it was supposed to end at 10, and it didn't.
Yeah, it went over because you had The Rock come out, and he just takes half an hour.
He doesn't have a time.
Shaquille O'Neal came out, interestingly enough. He did nothing. The best match was...
I thought he was in the mini Royal Rumble.
He was. He was He didn't do anything. He just basically choke slammed somebody, and he got knocked out.
Was that the Andre the Giant Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Yeah.
The third annual.
Yeah.
But it was, I enjoyed it. It was pretty cool to be part of that whole thing. I think the best part of that whole weekend was NXT, match between Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura, which was...
Well, Sami Zayn made his Raw debut also, right?
Correct. So he made his Raw debut. So Sami Zayn was like the heart and soul of NXT, and as a thank you, the commissioner, William Regal, of NXT was like, thank you for all your hard work in NXT. Here's like your going away present. You get to fight the best wrestler who ever lived, Nakamura from Japan. And it was, I can't even describe it. So good. And I went to Hall of Fame, and that was really cool to see. Snoop Dogg got inducted. Mm-hmm. He rapped. It was great. And then y'all went to Raw, right?
Yeah.
We saw Shane McMahon run Raw.
That's right.
So, what did y'all think of the crowd? Because usually, the Raw after WrestleMania is
weird,
insane.
Crowd. Yeah, weird crowd.
Well, because there's so many people there that came from all over, that came in town for WrestleMania, that stayed and did Raw.
Oh, yeah. And so now, The Miz from the real world is the IC champion.
It didn't last long, yeah.
Oh, so 24 hours. So did SmackDown not change that?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I doubt it. I would like to see Zack Ryder.
Poor Zack Ryder. That's twice now.
He's good. And then, New Day... Bootios. They make sure you ain't booty.
I know. I love the trombone guy.
And we saw Stone Cold actually deliver stunners for the first time in years.
Yeah.
HBK. Oh, trombones.
Yeah, it does. It's pretty good.
Did we get some sweet chin music also?
We got sweet chin music. We got Mr. Socko.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Things happened. And The Rock actually had a match, even though it lasted 6 seconds against the Wyatts.
And then John Cena came out.
John Cena, who is injured. He won't be back until July for real. But
well, he's hosting like ABIOTI shows now.
So did you get to watch the whole 6 hours, or were you...
Yeah, so I got there right before, because my tickets allowed me not to wait in the line, so I pretty much saw everything.
That's nice.
So, I mean, it got 6.5 hours of this, it's just, because that's why...
At least
it's a long time, guys. It's like an international flight.
Yeah,
it's a lot of
hours. Was the giant screen a nice thing to have?
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was,
Did you find yourself watching that more than the actual...
Yeah, because...
Does that take away from you?
So, I was in a suite, and so... That place is so big that even if you're in the suite, like,
it's
right...
Still far away. Yeah.
It's still far away. So, the suite had binoculars for everybody, which was nice, but watching it on screen was easier. And then, so, to put it in perspective, American Airlines Center holds, like, 22,000 people.
Right.
This place, the AT&T Stadium, held 101. Like,
right.
It's just massive. I can't imagine what people saw when they were sitting up at the very top.
Yeah. They're watching the screen, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
But it was cool. They did a good job.
They're in an uncomfortable seat doing what they could have done.
Yeah,
home.
I hate the seats at AT&T. They're so uncomfortable.
So, but yeah, WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. First time ever. Pretty badass.
Awesome.
I
stayed home and watched it on the WWE Network.
I love them.
That we got that, like, 3 hours before because it was stupid to pay $65.
Oh, yeah. $9.99.
They were doing it. They gave a whole month for free.
WrestleMania. That's crazy.
So
just keep it. Just keep
it.
You're going
to
like it.
We'll
so
probably forget to cancel it. Cliff's not on right now, so I can say that.
Sorry, Cliff.
Well, keep it, or you can borrow mine.
Well, there's reality. Like, we were watching the commercials. There's like reality shows on there. There's a little bit for everybody.
I gave you my code, right? Did y'all use it to watch WrestleMania?
Parts.
Okay, I just didn't know if it worked or not.
Did you not watch the whole thing? You were like,
it was 6.5 hours long.
I watched the whole thing.
I started to watch it, and then, like I said, I stopped because I was watching The Walking Dead instead. So.
All right. So, do y'all want to do a, you know, as in the middle of diff, kind of like talk, do another podcast?
I don't know if I. Well, we'll see.
I'm out of town for all of diff.
Where are you going?
Going to Las Vegas.
Why?
For a romance writers convention.
Oh my god.
I'll be there for the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention.
All moist and weird up in there.
Staying at the Rio.
Oh, all right.
Her name is Rio.
Oh, Hash House. That's my favorite.
We have one in Plano now.
Hash House a Go Go?
Yeah.
There's not a Hash House a Go Go in Dallas.
I ate there.
There is now.
Yeah, I ate there twice in one weekend, like on a Friday and a Saturday.
Do you have to make reservations there, like
the
other places?
You can make it on Open Table, but they told us the first night we didn't have it waited all the first night. The second night I went, it was supposed to be a 40-minute wait, and it was like 10.
All right.
So it's worth it. It's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well then, I want to go. So Div.
Off to Plano.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Jon Snow's dead.
Outlander.
Whatever.
Outlander. Lots of stuff. Lots of good stuff. Go to the Angelica. Get your diff tickets. Go see Adam. Tell him to give you a t-shirt for free.
Bring him snacks.
Hey.
Poor Adam. He's looking at us like we're crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about getting a t-shirt.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and let us know what you think. We are the Multimedia Man Podcast.
Yay.
Woo.